Hello, my name is Junie, and welcome to the Theta Game Podcast. I'm not a financial advisor, and nothing I say is financial advice. I'm just a normal retail trader, just like you. I'm not certified or a graduate of finance, just a trader that started on Wall Street Bets years ago. I've lost a lot of money and made all of it back and more after finding a system that worked for me. You can view all my trades for free at thetagang.com/Junie, no signup required, and email me any questions that I'll answer on the podcast at junie@thetagang.com. Lastly, I stream on Twitch every weekday at least an hour at 9 a.m. Pacific time. Come hang out, ask me questions, vent, or just chill. It's a positive environment, and everyone is welcome at twitch.tv/realthetagang. I've been using the TastyTrade trading platform since I started my ThetaGang journey 5 years ago, and it feels surreal that I've partnered with TastyTrade so I can focus on bringing you guys and girls the content. If you'd like to sign up and use TastyTrade for your trading journey, you can use my link in the show description or use the ThetaGang referral code, that's one word, all caps, when signing up. I use TastyTrade every Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, where I chat and trade with viewers live every morning. Go again to twitch.tv/realthetagang if you're interested, join the chatter and morning hangout. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Today is November 5th, 2024. It is election day. Elections between Trump and Harris are suspected to be very close. So the counting of the ballots will take a little bit longer than usual. And while sometimes we might know who the president is before we go to sleep, it's strongly expected that, or highly expected that we don't know who the next president is until at least tomorrow. So whether or not we know tonight, I don't think so. Tomorrow is maybe even a maybe, just because of how close this candidacy might be. But regardless, you want to be careful. A lot of people do drink during this time as being, a celebratory thing. I don't know, if people are pretty prideful for each of their parties, and you might drink a little bit too much and you might want to drive. So just be careful on the road, not necessarily thinking that you're going to drink and drive, but rather other people are going to drink and drive. So if it's at nighttime, it's a little dark, maybe don't step on that green light right when it turns green. Just look both ways, make sure no car is trying to beat a yellow, and save yourself from a really bad time. Getting that out of the way, I want to talk a little bit about earnings so far this week. We had Palantir, which went up about like 12 or 13% after hours. They had a great earnings report, and then it went up another 10% throughout the day, the next day. So that Palantir, priced for perfection, as MemeMS says, and I would have to agree, Palantir is very much priced for perfection. But I'd say one of the more bullish things that I think you would want to pay attention to when you're trading Palantir is that their contracts are sticky. They do have a lot of contracts and a lot of money coming from the government. So any new product that they ship or any new things that the government might need, Palantir is basically first in line. And if they already established a good relationship with the government, only I think good things could come of it. If, say, for example, they were to lose the government contracts, I think that's a huge downfall or a huge risk for Palantir. But again, those contracts, I'm sure Palantir treats like gold. There's just no way they're going to mess up on those, just because it's so business critical that it'd be a pretty low risk. But the risk is there, and Palantir is priced for perfection. It is very expensive for the amount of money that Palantir actually does bring in. However, it is just the coolest thing to trade right now in the AI space. I think even Nvidia is kind of sitting quietly as it's kind of just figuring out where the rest of the semi market wants to go, especially with Super Micro or SMCI having reported today down an additional 14% after the bell, after it's gone down so much this year off of Ernst and Young backing out of auditing them. You know, an auditor, or like it's basically an accountant saying like, hey, yo, I don't want to, you know, take responsibility for the things that you're reporting to the government, I'm out. You know, having an auditor back out is a very big deal, especially after you've delayed your annual filing, which Super Micro or SMCI is still not committed to a date yet. And it's getting very close to the date where they're going to be subject to be pulled out of the NASDAQ. So that's not also not going to be good. And there's more pain that looks like it's going to come for SMCI. And for the rest of the week, there is Celsius, which is an energy drink company, Novo Nordisk, pharmaceuticals, I think. And then CVS, also, I guess, retail pharmaceuticals, and Aurora. After the bell tomorrow, there is Arm, the chip designer. They sell licenses to like NVIDIA and AMD. There's also AMC, Qualcomm, and Elf. And then before open on Thursday, there's Datadog and Moderna. And then after close on Thursday, there is DraftKings, Rivian, Block, also known as Square. I had to think about that. I was like, also known as Cash App? No. They are the same product, but you guys know what I mean. There's also The Trade Desk, which is an advertisement company. The Trade Desk is a very good indicator for how ads are doing. So if you own any Meta or Facebook stock, The Trade Desk is a company you probably want to pay attention to. I think that also goes with Google as well. And then there's also Affirm. Affirm is a private loan or money lender. So like you imagine that people that are struggling with credit card debt or that can't get any more money look for personal financing, and that's where Affirm comes in. So we'll get to see just like how well the consumer is actually doing as well, because if they're pulling out a lot of like high APR credit and that starts piling up, maybe that's not like the best indicator that our economy is doing hot. You know, people probably need some alleviation, and if that comes from a high APR loan, it just doesn't sound good for their company. So that's what people are looking at. There's also Pinterest and Airbnb, two very, very late 2000s, like SaaS platforms that went big. You know, when you think of Pinterest and Airbnb, you think of like the poster childs of like big money going into like an untapped market or something, you know. So Pinterest there, I wonder if Pinterest pins, right? P-I-N-S, yeah. Pins stock. Are they profitable? Yeah, they are. They have a super high P/E ratio, though. And then Airbnb, I've not looked at their stock in a long time. Airbnb stock, P/E ratio is at 18. It looks like it's had a very good rebound as of late as well. But it's effectively traded sideways since its debut. It debuted at 139.25 in 2020, and it's literally trading 4 years later at 137. Which is nuts. It's almost been 5 years, you know, and the fact that it's only traded this this much, and it's down like, oh my gosh, like 1.3% of all time. Imagine parking your money in this thing and having it go down 1%. That's crazy. Anyway, so that's the earnings for the week. I don't see anything on Friday, and yeah, let's get on. All right. Moving on, just talking about a little bit of the most contextual thing I think can make or bring you the most amount of value in terms of just trading. Because, you know, as I record this every week, I'm very in tune with where the market is going, right? Or where at least where the market has gone. So when I'm recording this and when I'm talking about the market, it's not like I'm a person hired to read off a script that someone else reworded from someone else that is a, you know, part-time investor, right? Like, I am very much trading with you guys on the front lines, and here I am talking directly through the microphone with my thoughts. This isn't like some like NPR multi-million dollar like podcast where I get to pick the best script for the job. So right now I'm really thinking, because I want to give you guys something to do also. It's like, if you're not driving, okay, make sure if you're driving, just relax, just keep your eyes on the road, just focus on the road. But if you're not driving, it's worth pulling up like the QQQ graph, right? And if you look at like the 1 year or honestly the 5 year, dude, right now it's looking like I don't know. Personally, for me, it feels like risk on seems okay, right? It feels like right now is not the time to be trying to time the top. And so I just thought of a very clever title before recording this part of the episode. It's going to be named something like, "Have you tried losing before?" Or something like that. And I think a lot of people will be like, "Yeah, I've tried I've tried losing before. I lose all the time." But there's a difference between like trying to lose versus like accidentally losing, which I think what a majority of people do. I think a lot of you have listened to some of the more recent episodes, and you know that I've come up with this concept of canary trading, where like if I feel like the market is getting a bit toppy, I don't just exit, or I don't try to time it and buy puts necessarily. What I try to do is I continue trading, but in maybe in a smaller amount. So I might have 5 cash secure puts on NVIDIA. It keeps on going up. You know, I might feel like I'm about to get overextended, but you know what? Instead of saying I'm just gonna take profits off the table, or I'm gonna buy puts because it's gonna reverse, or you know, I'm just gonna do nothing, I'm going to try to lose. I'm gonna put a canary out there. You know, if I make money on it, that's also amazing. But this canary trade is supposed to be my losing trade. I think it's really taught me the value of losing, right? Like when we think of this canary trade, a lot of you are like, well, I don't necessarily have enough money to write a whole nother cash secured, put. And that makes a lot of sense. But I bet you have enough to deposit one more dollar. Right? Like investing more, winning more, it's a different definition for everybody. But you can invest one more dollar. I've also alluded to this in the more recent episodes. And that's just because I want to reemphasize it. It's very important right now as we are in this very like gray area of, are we going to head all-time highs again? Or is this the very top and I'm going to panic, or I'm going to take risk off because of the election, or it's earnings season. Like I said, I'm going to take risk off here. I'll just come at the end of the year, or you know, I'll watch the Santa rally come back first. There are so many different things that you can look at. There's so many different variables that you can focus on. But one thing that you can do is keep winning on your winners. Win more. Aim to lose, like try to lose on a canary trade. You have 5 shares of something and you're like, oh man, I think I should really take this off the table. Instead of doing that, try to experiment. Buy one more share. And if that share starts going down, then maybe consider closing out the rest. But be on the offense for the vast majority of the time. Only play defense when you need to. Right, like maybe don't wait until you get punched in the face, but you know, maybe you get like a small jab on your arm or something, you know, like that's when you can start taking action. Preemptively calling the top and saying, man, I'm so green on my Palantir position and earnings are coming up, I'm just gonna get out now, right? Like instead of getting out all of it, you know, maybe you get out only half or a quarter of it, you know, some amount that lets you stay in at least a little bit, right? There's some gray that you can be had, but I think a lot of investors like to just really be black and white. They like to try to be min-max. And that's what a lot of, you know, literature and shows, TV, media, that's what they kind of like romanticize, right? They try to making the min max of everything sexy, the timing of the top and the timing of the bottom, like all this stuff is supposed to trick you into believing that you need to be all in or nothing. And it's just a part of the game. We see that all the time. What I'm just trying to remind you is that there is always room to lose first before doing anything drastic. Going all cash is not a good idea. And so far, that has played out beautifully because I'd say in the last like week, if you didn't go all cash when I saw that conversation start coming up, you'd be up a solid 4%. Sorry, I take that back. 2% on QQQ and SPY. Let me see here. I think SPY is even more. SPY 1 week, Yeah, we're talking minus 12. Yeah, it's also 2% on SPY. So yeah, just by staying in, not freaking out, you would have saved 2%, and now you don't have to worry about like losing more than that if you decide to go back in now. You know, you'll always be in between like the fearful angel and the greedy angel, right? I'm not gonna say greedy devil, because I think you're just an angel all around, okay? And I think that you have good intentions, so we're gonna make them both angels. I think the greedy angel is gonna tell you, like, put all your money in, go all in. You know, you want the sick gains. You want to keep your money in so that it grows and beats inflation. You know, that type of thing. You could take it a little bit too far and over justify a few things. I think you and I can hear that and, you know, sort of hear the negative connotation to it, right? It's a little bit too risky. It's all this. It's might not just be good for you. And that's sort of easy to tell. The fearful angel is a little different. That's the one that like sounds like mental health. It sounds like Gen Z, like, oh, you're soft, that type of thing. It sounds like take care of you. Feel comfortable. Go all cash. It's fine. The stock market's always gonna be there, right? Like it's like go for positive auras. Go for being demure. You know, like just relax. It's all good. Just go all cash. You know, make the losses stop. It's all good. Be you. Be comfortable. That sort of stuff. That sounds really good. And I'd say for your mental health, yeah, I'd say for the most part, anytime you want to take a mental break and you want to just like chill out, you should do it. But I'm also letting you know it's probably equally as bad as going all in, because you're now building this very bad habit of trying to time the top. You're trying to literally say, you know what, I'm going to risk doing this multiple times in my life, because you're positively reinforcing every time that you get out and fully go all cash and the market dips down like, I don't know, 0.5%, you're going to feel like a god, okay? You're going to feel like a god or a goddess, and you're going to be like, damn, I'm really good at this. And so what that ends up happening is the market's going to take off, and you're going to be like, you know what? I'm just going to get in later after it comes back down, because I'm really good at this timing. And then it goes up again, and you're like, wait, what's going on? And then suddenly you become one of those perma bears on the discussion thread on, you know, whatever subreddit you're on. You're always saying, oh, the market's overvalued. Oh, is it because of this? Dude, no one is born a perma bear. I have not brought this topic up in such a long time. I used to talk about this all the time in 2020. Dude, 2020 Junie was a different person. I am so much more mellowed out now. Just, you know, having learned just so much more. And man, that was a different time. But my point that I'm trying to bring up is no one is born a bear, bro. No one. No one joins the stock market and says, you know what, I'm going to make money by shorting companies, by betting the economy's gonna go down. No one thinks that. When you join the stock market, you're like, how do I make money? What do I bet on? What are we going calls on, boys? Like that's the type of attitude that you're usually in. You know, you don't go in looking for business metrics and business units and looking for if the business makes sense, P/E ratios, indicators. You're looking at none of that. You're just interested in the stock market going up, and you make money while the stock market's going up. But it's not until you get got, or the market just keeps on going up after you think that the market's done going up, and you get all cash and it just takes off without you. And it's sad. It's like if you just were in the proper community or proper communication channels, you would be more inclined just thug it out or trade it out or just stay in. But it's tough to do for a lot of people, especially if you don't handle the front of your trade correctly. Meaning like it's a lot easier to stay in on losing positions if you've done your due diligence on the stocks that you're doing really bad on, right? Like I'm not gonna put the blame on me here, but if you're on a stock like SMCI, or you're on a stock like GameStop, and you're like hoping for a turnaround back to like all-time highs, maybe it's a good thing for you to actually go all cash and reevaluate, right? But that's because I would believe that if I saw someone that had GameStop and SMCI in the portfolio, that they need to probably be checked on, right? Like there's something that is not in their system that is definitely not in mine, right? That's like where if they think that GME and SMCI has better potential value within like the next like 12, 24 months compared to any of the stocks that I currently trade, it's night and day difference. I can hold on to my stocks that are red much easier than, say, for example, someone that has GameStop or SMCI, right? Like you're probably sweating over your position on whether or not this company is going to make a turnaround. And I could say the same thing about Intel. Intel is like has very strong potential to be a poster child of a stock that just never goes up. It still kind of already has that. I was going to say occupation, but the word I'm looking for is reputation. It still has that reputation of being like an idle stock. But that's the thing, is like you want to just make sure that the stocks that you're invested in pass some filters that you have in place. If you're just finding that your entire portfolio is just filled with all these red stocks like BlackBerry, AMC, Bed Bath & Beyond, well, they don't even have a stock anymore, GameStop, Boeing, Intel, like all these losing stocks, yes, maybe it is finally time to go all cash, because that cash that you can just take out and put into something that's more reliable, like SPY, could be better instead of hoping for a comeback. But if you, say, for example, you're not trading any of those stocks, but you have a different preference and maybe other stocks, like, for example, you like trading Reddit, I don't know, Palo Alto Networks, Robinhood, I don't know, some other companies that are doing all right, Palantir, then great, you have just a little bit more conviction to stay in. But if you're, say, like trading all this stuff, following good habits, but then you all of a sudden, well, you just want to get out like all of it at one time, that is a very, very dangerous habit to build. You know, you want to lose first, or rather, I would say that I want to lose first before thinking about, you know, getting out. Right now, during this idle time, where people don't know if the markets could go up or down following the election. We also have FOMC in about 2 days. No one knows where the markets could go. It's freaky, man. It's really freaky. We have no idea. But this is usually a time where you make the most amount of money. It's during these uncertain times where if you're correct and you're able to find your edge by just holding on to that little bit of conviction that you can just like really cling on to. And I guess that's a little vague. In my trading career, which has mostly just been on the internet, right? I don't have any professional experience in a trading firm. I've really just traded with the same group of people for the last like 4 or 5 years. And, you know, from the amount of times I've gotten a chance to know these people, getting a chance to know the trading patterns, I know when one of my, you know, my patrons / friends, I know when they have a strong amount of conviction. Like it's the way that they write their notes, or it's their position sizing, or it's just how they're structuring and managing their, maybe their losing trade and how they apply the next one. I have this sense of when there is strong conviction, and I use some of that to help make my trades, because I know what good conviction looks like, where I had that myself. But I have that really for a very small set of stocks. For example, during the COVID rally, I was very, very in line with NVIDIA as well as Shopify and AMD. So those three were like my bread and butters. Like I felt like I was on fire trading those the way that I did. And now this year, I'm starting to venture out a lot more. If I like go to my Tastytrade tab, there are so many stocks on this list. I mean, like just in numerical order of year gain, like I made the most, and I guess I'll go top 10. NVIDIA, Costco, Nike, Palo Alto Networks, CrowdStrike, AMD, Reddit. I made money on SMCI, Palantir, Micron, Elf, Constellation Energy, Lumen, Coinbase, VRT, Crocs. Dude, these are companies that there are a lot of these companies that I've never traded before until this year, but it's because of just getting more examples of what like strong conviction looks like has really enabled me to widen my trading pool. This strong conviction is something it's something that you have to do. I can't quantify it, and it's really based on like how much you trust your teammates, your friends when you're trading too. Because it's not like we tell each other like, hey, you should also do this. Like that's something that I really don't like, especially on like the Twitch stream and stuff when people are like, oh, you should buy this stock or you should look at it. I'm like, don't tell me what to do. But you know, when you're looking at this stuff and you hear someone say on a podcast, like, oh, you need strong conviction, you're probably like, man, what the heck does that even mean, dude? Of course, if I had conviction, I'd do it. You'll have this thought, and as you mature in your trading career, I'm talking like I'm a boomer. You have this thought when you're like getting more experience under your belt. You know, I feel like I have a good amount of trading experience. I've seen a lot of bullish stuff. I've seen a lot of bearish stuff. But you get this feeling when someone is in a trade and when they're locked in, you're like, yeah, I can see that too. And you start doing your own analysis on it and you're like, this makes sense. And so it feels like, this is what it feels like, because I can't describe the exact exact thing of, you know, conviction. But it feels like a double probability of win educated bet. Because not only does this person have a lot of conviction, I applied my entire system. I did my own due diligence into this trade. And then I feel like, yeah, I trust this person. I trust their judgment. I trust their trade. And then I come in with three other factors of my own. I trust myself. I trust the way that I trade. I trust my system. And then there's like six factors going to that trade. And it feels like a higher probability bet to win. I know it sounds like a lot of like Mercury and Gatorade type of stuff, but this is the stuff that you need to just find your edge during uncertain times like this. And it's easier to apply this stuff when you're willing to be wrong. You see what I did there? Like I'm applying everything back to this central topic. No matter how much conviction you got on something or, you know, what you feel type of way where the market's going to go, being willing to lose first is a really good mindset to apply when you're trying something new or you're, you know, sort of getting inspiration from other people's trades. Is maybe you go in with a smaller position size and willing for that to be wrong just to learn what the outcomes of that trade was and how you were feeling it and what you can do better next time. But none of that is possible if you're just sitting there just being okay, being idle, all right? Okay, being idle, going all cash is a boring move. I can do that in my IRA. Well, I mean, I'm applying the fact that like you just don't do anything in an IRA. Going all cash in an IRA has to be the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Okay, you don't touch your IRA. The IRA is sacred. You do not touch it. You leave it alone, because when you mess your money up in your individual brokerage account, you have your IRA to fall back on. Okay, that is a nest egg, at least for me. So I don't do any manual trading. I just put money in a bot every year and I just go with that. Anyway, being idle is very bad. It's better to be wrong, in my opinion, okay? It's better to be wrong in a small amount, not being idle, because again, it just develops good habits. We never know where the market's going to go, but we're always willing to invest a dollar. Some of us are willing to invest $10. Some of us are willing to invest $100 more. But what we can fairly say is that everyone's willing to invest one more dollar. You need to find that one more dollar value for you to potentially lose on. And then that can give you an indication like, hey, you know what? Maybe it is time to take a step back, take some winners off the table. But if you are extremely green, and then out of nowhere, like even the day is green, SPY and QQQ green, your Palantir position is green. And then all of a sudden you're like, man, I'm doing so good. I'm going to take a break. That is so weird. It is so weird. I think I'm bringing the energy today because my fiance is not home for the week. She's like taking care of the house because her parents are gone for some business trip or some. But yeah, I feel like I'm just being myself right now. It feels like the old Junie's back a little bit. no one is born a bear. That could be a good subtitle for today's episode. Anyway, try not to go all cash. Like, try not to do that. Try not to time the top. You know, it's okay to hedge. It's okay to buy puts on a very large bullish position that you have. That's fine. That's fine. But it could be kind of bad if you make it a habit of going all cash. Okay, it's better to lose a small amount by adding a little bit more onto a winner, because you're building up that good habit of winning more. You know, you want to extend these wins to be more probable. And for the people that like to sell options, that can mean like rolling a put further ahead in time, or that could mean just adjusting strikes on the same expiration for more premium. But in either case, you want to lose first. And that's what I'm trying to get at. Yeah, thank you so much for listening to me today. I'll save it for the 1% section. I'm going to end it here. Have a great rest of your day. Again, just be careful on the road later at night. That's it. I'm doing good. If you're ever curious, I'm doing good. I hope you're doing good. I'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye. From what just started out as just an idea, then learning how to trade options, then building a logging platform, then partnering with TazyTrade is so surreal to me. If you'd like to trade on TazyTrade, you can see the show description from my referral link, or use ThetaGain referral code, one word, all caps, when signing up to help me and support the website, podcast, and stream. This podcast, the website, and stream are all made possible because of my patrons at patreon.com/ThetaGain. Signing up helps keep the services up and alive, as well as pay my own personal bills. I do the podcast, website, and stream full-time as my primary source of income. I feel grateful to be able to do this full-time and focus on providing the best service possible for free. The podcast, website, and stream are all free, and it'll stay that way. Signing up for Patreon gives you a few perks, though, so check it out again at patreon.com/ThetaGain if you're interested in helping support. All right, this is the patron list for the patrons that support me and the podcast and stream and website. They keep it alive. They're the ones definitely letting me be able to stream. That is for sure. Would not be able to afford to do this full time without these people. I'm actually going to read the names in the order of alphabetical flair. Okay, so for those that don't know, like when ThetaGain.com first came about and the Patreon was first made, there was a perk where you would get like a flair, like there would be like some sort of like little text beside your name, not like the achievements like right now, not like titles, you know, like if you get 100-day streak on ThetaGain.com, you get the Ember title. You get to be called like Junie the Ember, you know. So that was something cool. It used to be a little bit different, a little bit more custom. And so like some of these flares are like, there's some purple hearts for people that show up to the Twitch stream. There's the 1% flare, which is actually what this section of the podcast is called. So there are flares that just said 1%, and that's for people that listen to this section of the podcast. And I have gotten a lot of feedback from people about how they only really listen to the 1% section anyway. I don't know how they find out about me, because I mostly talk about trading, but it's kind of cool. It's kind of like my gateway into vlogging, I think, later down the road. Because, you know, as most of you know, I think one of the main pieces of content that's going to get really popular, or at least more popular now, or a resurgence, is like real life vlogging. As like AI takes over with like AI generated content, AI is going to have a really tough time generating realistic video about realistic situations, talking about realistic feelings, you know, like vloggers do. One day it might be possible, but yeah, I do think vlogging or real life content is going to be more popular. We kind of see that trend right now in Twitch streaming and Kick streaming, you know, like all these streaming services. IRL content is some of the most popular content right now. And I think it's because it helps people that are alone feel less alone. Where like gamers, we can usually watch someone play a video game, and that's kind of cool. But like being able to hang out with another group of friends over the internet is something that I think a lot of people do crave. So I think IRL content is here and it's back. It's maybe not in the form of vlogging, maybe, but it's coming back. IRL content or vlogging, it's here. So I just want to say, not in necessarily any order, but these are the patrons in order that have flares at all. And then later down the list, they do not. You probably know if you have a flare. You can't see on the ThetaGaming.com website right now because I don't use it as a feature anymore. But in the database, you still do. So I want to give a shout out to Vegeta Plank, Travella, EDC, Steve Catsy, Nala, Espresso Bean, Mememe, Rustier, NSIS88, Mombat1856. Slow Motion, Chicken Dinner, Statistically Random, The Jester, McFly, Can't Make Money RL, Avrillion, Mods, Maestro XC, Someone Is Calling Me, probably telling me to vote for something. Avrillion, Mods, Maestro XC, Upstream Puddle, Sumatrix, Rooster, Grandpa 95, Arfman, Mr. Integrity, Major, Fancy Wolf, Lord Skeletor, Kaput, T-Wall 3252, Bearded Savage, Young Rich, Joe Quirt, Alexander Kerm, Gruffalo, Desserts, J Perkins 86, Suede Slides, Jimmy Gill, Dang High, Los Pepes, Turbo Ricky, Benz, Coop, Denoom 9000, Clutch, ZKMSZ, Luca Badur, Y-Teen, LPL, Banadushi, Tuckle Me Elmo, Big Dillo, Handy, RS Schmitty, MX7, Kamikaze Paco, Turfed, Ginger Minaru, Tyler LM97, Bachata Thug, Daily Collector, and Husk P, and also Loido. Oh my goodness. Wow. Yeah. This list is, it's a pretty long list. Yeah. Just thank you everyone for choosing to support. Let me see. This person that was calling me while I was reading the names left a voicemail. Yeah, of course. This is a Congress ad, whatever. Okay. Yeah, go vote if you haven't voted. I'm sure you've been reminded a million times through random texts, but you should definitely vote. What was I gonna say before? Hold on, let me pause. Let me try to get on the same thought process, because I did say that I was gonna say something here. Let me we'll be right back. You guys are going to kill me, but I re-listened to the part where I was going to say, oh, I'll talk about this later. Dude, I cannot get in the same headspace. I can't remember what I was going to say. But I'm sure it wasn't that important. If I can't remember, but I did feel like I was going to cook. Like I was about to go on a rant. But I thought I'd save it for this part of the episode, but I can't remember what it was. Something I have just remembered that wasn't the thing that I was going to talk about, but it's officially been 1 year for the 5K account challenge. I'm probably going to talk about this the next episode. But yeah, my account for one entire year since I've started this, from $5,000, I've grown this to $8,324.67, 65.9% over the year. And this was done over many trades. It wasn't like I risked it all off of one trade. This was done on many trades, which I'm really proud of, to be honest. Let me see. How many trades was this? Wins, 94. Losses, 17. And 10 assignments, 27 plus 94. That is 121 trades. 121 trades. That is pretty cool. Yeah, I'll go and talk about this in the next episode. Thanks for, yeah, all the support lately. Like, podcast numbers are up, streaming numbers are up, the market is up, everyone's in like in a pretty good mood. It's just like some people are starting to freak out, and yeah, that's why I thought I made today's podcast. Just lose first, lose a little bit, then start freaking out. But don't freak out because it's too green on a green day. That's just weird. I'll see you later, guys. Bye-bye.